Right, welcome everybody to another episode of Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. I'm one of your hosts, Chris, and my co-host and very good friend is Dave.
Hey there, Chris, and hello to our listeners out there again. Welcome to Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. We are covering Traitors UK Season 2, Episodes 7 through to 9. Chris, I don't think I could like this show anymore. I mean, we love things like, you know, obviously we started out doing Love Island, we love maths, don't we? But this is just different gravy. I absolutely love it. But Chris, where would you like to start today?
So just before we start, I totally agree. This is something completely different. We have obviously got Love Island All-Stars playing, you know, it's our bread and butter, but this is on a different level. Yeah, it's fucking outstanding. Anyway, we'll start with how we finish on episode 6. So Miles is passing a drink to Diane. If she drinks it, she's basically gone. She's murdered. See you later. I wasn't sure whether we will see the end of Diane. You said at the end of last episode, I was like, yeah, I'm not sure. But I did love the way the camera was framed, Dave, when it was like she was so suspicious of Miles. And Miles is like, oh, there's a few other people drinking. And then she took it, and I thought, oh, she's gone straight away. But we get the twist from Claudia that the next morning that someone's been poisoned, you know, they're basically murdered, and they're going to be gone, but they're not gone yet. And I thought this whole, like, will they, won't they, people, like, sort of saying, well, I had a drink. Who gives someone a drink? Who did this? And then the funeral thing. Honestly, Dave, I mean, that wasn't even the best part of the episode. Again, absolutely grips watching it. Love it.
I mean, I have to say this week 3 has been amazing. Every episode, and it started off so strong, didn't it? Like you say, the traitors were on the back foot. And, you know, Miles, I don't think they actually showed Diane taking a drink. And that was what made me think, oh, I wonder if, you know, it'd be something else. But then you are thinking, like, Claudia does drop the minute, you know, and I thought she, like, even if it wasn't Diane, you know, maybe she'd pass it on to someone else and they'd drink it and end up poisoned. But the fact that they kept her alive, you know, was a real kind of twist, wasn't it? And I would say, you know, it's really thrown the cat amongst the pigeons with the traitors. Like, this was the catalyst, really, that set it all off. Because you're thinking, like, Diane is so kind of on it and observant, isn't she? And she was saying, you know, I know Miles gave me a drink, and what was it? Oh, I can't remember the girl's name now. Not Ella, or it was something, wasn't it? The blonde girl, it was one of those two. But then they're going through. I mean, Chris, that looked like a weird kind of Marilyn Manson video, the way they were all dressed up in black. And you had Claudia Winkleman at the start there walking with the cane. It was like some weird gothic video. But you could see that basically as soon as this starts off, Miles is fucked right from the start. And you're just waiting for them all to twig. And sure enough, as soon as Paul, who started off the week, I mean, he was kind of the favorite, wasn't he? And everyone's thinking, how can no one else pick up on this? And even when someone else does pick up on it, he seems to have that silver tongue, doesn't he, to be able to get himself out of trouble. But yeah, it seemed fairly clear to me that Miles, I mean, he looked like a hitman, to be honest, because he had the old black gloves on as well, didn't he? But yeah, he was stuffed then. But you could tell he wasn't going to go down without a fight.
So what I got from it with Miles, Dave, and the whole funeral thing, and I think Jess said on Facebook that the US version was basically nothing like what we saw. And if you were claustrophobic, I'd say, it reminded me of the fucking Undertaker and the wrestling. You used to put him in a casket and everything. And like, yeah, you know, she was in there for quite a while when Claudia was like talking through everything and that, and that when they did the game. But you're right, once that came through and Ross realised that his mum was gone and we got like the whole thing about who give who drinks and everything, and Miles had already said to Diane earlier on about, oh, I give you a drink. She's like, well, I trust you. I know you're not a fake, you know, you're not a traitor and everything. Little did she know. But that, for me, Dave, set up at the time the best round table moment of the whole show, because Paul did what he did with Ash He just fucking turned, didn't he? He knew that Miles was on absolute thin ice with this, and he knew that he had to react and sort of go for him, because if he didn't, all the question marks for him that were already there, and people had already mentioned all this, he had to play that game. And I honestly didn't think Paul was going to survive. But he fucking did, didn't he? By the skin of his teeth, Dave. Yeah. Like, by the skin of his teeth. I mean, talk about a brilliant pantomime baddie, but the whole interaction between Miles and Paul, and I'm loving for one of them just to go, well, you're a fucking traitor as well, but they don't, did they? They just played the game. So fair play to Miles and that, you know, for not reacting, because he could have easily just dropped him in it, you know, like, but absolutely magnificent TV again. I love that whole round table of episode 7. I was messaging you and you were slightly behind. You're like, no, fuck, I haven't started. I'm like, mate, it's unbelievable. I picked it up so much, but it delivered for me. It was brilliant.
I absolutely was. And I have to say, fair play to Miles, because I was thinking, as soon as Diane wasn't dead, and, you know, she's saying to Paul, and it's the girl, isn't it, who has the ear implants, you know, it was her, so she couldn't really hear what was being said. But when Diane said, oh, if it's me, you know, then the traitor's Miles. But Paul, the traitor, is the only one with that information. And obviously Miles knows that as well. So he knows that Paul is really setting him up, because he could just keep that information, because Diane isn't actually there. And I thought, Miles, you're fucked. You might as well just hold your hands up. But I thought he did really well. I thought he put up a good fight there, because he was saying that, you know, well, we're all focused on the drinks, but that's exactly what the traitors would do, isn't it? They'd force the narrative of the drinks, and it could be something else. It could be a kiss. It could be something, you know, completely different from a drink. And I thought, fair fucking play, Miles. Good on you, son. You know, you've gone for it there. Now, it didn't save him, and then everyone was going a bit nuts. But I tell you what, when Paul and Miles were going at each other, their little fucking Kaiser Soze moment, you know, and this just got more and more. Fucking Harry turns to Jack and whispers, do you think this is two traitors going at each other? I am like, oh. It's like the end of Usual Suspects. And I have to say, Chris, slight spoiler, but, you know, for our other podcast, The VHS Strikes Back, I have made my pick, right? And I hadn't up until last night, and I'm like, fuck this, it's time. We're going back to The Usual Suspects. We're going to rewatch that, and I'm going to see if my memory is, you know, it's still a great movie, because all I really remember about it is the end, when you get to see that, you know, Kevin Spacey walking off, and, you know, he starts to do his normal walk, and you're like, holy shit. And that was the start of it for me, when I was thinking, you know, Harry sort of plays off like he's this cheeky chappy, well, actually, he's a bit of a mastermind as well. And sure enough, in the next episode, you got to see the fruits of that, didn't you? Because Paul, who must, I don't know if there is a betting thing on it, because it's all sort of edited, so I guess the outcome's known. But Paul must have been the favourite. But Harry was having none of it, was he?
Oh, he's brilliant. So that episode ended with them recruiting somebody. Andrew comes in, and you can see Andrew, you know, he's a big imposing bloke, and he goes to the gym, looks after himself, and he walks in, and Paul's a fucking tall lad, though, to be fair. And you can see he's like got the head down with the gown on, and he's trying to look, who the fuck are these two traitors? And he must have sussed maybe Paul because of the height, but then Harry, and honestly, he was like, what the fuck am I doing here? He even said in the video, I'm going to have to become a traitor because they're going to kill me. And he was so uncomfortable. And even Harry said, I think we've made a mistake with Andrew. I think we have made such a mistake. It didn't help that fucking Paul's dialogue was basically, yeah, you're just here to fucking make the numbers up before we can bin you off, mate. That was Paul's mistake there.
That was weird, wasn't it? I think he really fucked up there. Now, to be fair, I thought Andrew coming in was going to be a bit like Kieran in season one, you know, because that was Will's mistake, really, I think, bringing in Kieran, and then that's why he lost the money in the end with the old, you know, parting gift thing. But I thought when Andrew, you could see it in his face, couldn't you? He was just completely taken aback. He didn't think either of them were traitors at all. He'd vouched for Paul several times. And I thought, oh, they've fucked up. And like you say, Paul and Harry were discussing it with themselves. But after that, I think Andrew sort of rescued it a bit. I think at breakfast, you know, he sort of looked guilty. And I was thinking, Christ, if anyone just looks at him, you'd be able to tell he's the one recruited. But, you know, the camera's sort of designed to tell us that story, isn't it? It's they've edited that shot in for a reason. But yeah, he did all right. But he definitely fucked up there, Paul, by basically saying, you know, we needed someone who's got a bit of heat on them already so that they, you know, they can be voted out. And you see on Andrew's face, he's like, well, that's me then, isn't it?
Thanks, Paul.
But I think coming in as, you know, being converted this late in the game, when you have been that faithful and you've been, you know, studiously trying to look at what everyone's doing and, you know, weed out the traitors, to suddenly be on the other side of the fence, I think that must be the hardest thing.
Yeah, I do. And I do think, and very briefly, I love the euphoria when they get a traitor, Dave. Everyone is crying. Oh, fucking, yeah. Like, the tension and like, the emotion, these people crying. Oh, it's fantastic. You know, and yeah, I do love it when a traitor gets hugged by one of the faithfuls and they're like, yeah, we got them. And he's like, have you really?
Sorry, when Miles went, they went nuts. You know,
crazy.
Solid 9 out of 10, I would say. But Chris, when they got Paul, fucking yeah. Hell.
Yeah. It was amazing.
It was off the Richter scale, wasn't it? They all went absolutely bonkers and they're like, Harry the hero.
Yeah.
If Harry, if you hadn't kept going at him, you know, we'd have probably gone with Raz or someone. So yeah, I've never seen on, you know, we've watched a few of the different countries, haven't we, with the, wondered where I was going there, a few of the different countries with the different traitors, but I've never seen them go quite that nuts.
No, it was brilliant. And I think the thing was, Dave, I think in some respects, Paul was quite proud of Harry, because I think Paul just got too cocky after the whole Miles thing. I think he thought, well, that's me done. They do not think I'm a fucking traitor, but they did. And everyone, and Jazz again, he's fucking brilliant, Dave. And everyone looks at Jazz as if to say, and I'm all in episode 9 with him, but everyone looks at him. He's pretty much on the money with all his theories. There's only been the odd one where he's been off, but the whole...
Well, apart from saying Miles was definitely not a traitor.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I mean, yeah, I said one, I said maybe one or two, but I just like the way he breaks it all down. He really like thinks about some of the things that have happened and the way he came to the conclusion again, if Paul has got to be a traitor, even after Miles had gone, was brilliant. But when Harry turned on him, like I say, Paul did a great bow. When he said to everyone, I'm a traitor, and he bowed like he'd been on stage in like some theatre or something on the West End and that. He played it brilliantly. He was obviously a nice guy. It was all part of the show. And I did love his proper... He was like a Dick Dastardly type baddie, wasn't he? He wasn't anyone that he really hated, but he was just... He ended up in this situation where he had to be devious and conniving. And you need characters like that. And I'd be interested, as we go into the final week, I don't know whether there's going to be any more traitors. Maybe they're going to recruit one last traitor. And I think if they do, I don't think the traitors will lose. I really don't. I think if they got three of them, they'll win it.
Well, I mean, sort of cutting right to the end, I do think Paul's... What I was thinking was, you know, the old Batman 66, you know, the Cesar Romero Joker.
Yeah.
Like that version, when he did the bow and everything. I was thinking of something like that. But at that moment, you know, Harry's sort of saying, oh, you know, they're all saying now, you know, Paul's the greatest traitor ever. You know, wait till they get a load of me. I think that Harry was feeling a bit put out by that. But I was thinking, Harry, you fucking crafty bastard. You're going to win this. But when I thought that, you know, they'd messed up bringing in Andrew, and then I felt, you know, Andrew sort of got into the role a bit more as time went on. But then they had a chance to murder or recruit again, didn't they? And they brought in Ross. Now, at the start, I'm thinking, you know, why Ross and Diane would you hide this thing that, you know, that you're related? I don't. It seems to me like it could be more of a hindrance, you know, than a help. But when Ross is like, you know, I'm trying to understand, you know, some of the different kills, like Diane, you know, why did you get rid of Diane? And what was it Harry said? He said something about, you know, she was getting a bit, she needed to be put in a place or something like that, didn't he?
Yeah.
And you see Ross's face is like, right, I'm going to fucking get you now.
Yeah, really? Yeah, I'm after you. It was brilliant.
And I'm thinking, oh, Harry, you literally had it in the palm of your hand there. But I think he's just fucked up royally there. So, if you know, if I was Ross, I'd be trying to cozy up to Andrew and say, you know, let's, you start at that end of the room, I'll start at the other. You know, let's put it out there that Harry did know that Paul was a traitor.
And that might happen. And that might Dave, you know, like, because Andrew's still unsure of Harry. I think he knows he's got to play the game with him because Harry's played. He was there when Harry turned. When Harry turned on Paul, fucking Andrew's like, holy shit. You know, like, he knows he's not safe. He knows that Harry, in some respects, Dave, now, Andrew's probably, as I'm saying out loud, the strongest traitor because he's seen the traitors turn on each other now twice. No one else knows this. We see Miles and Paul and Miles, well, three times, and then Harry and Miles. So you've got this whole thing now where they've seen the different turns on the table. You don't know who else has been a traitor. So it's absolutely, if Andrew plays it correctly, now I'm saying it out loud, I think Harry was the favourite, but I don't think he is. I think it's weakened his position now. I think the newer traitors, as they come in, they become stronger.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think so. I mean, even when they first recruited Andrew and, you know, Paul was gleefully telling him how, you know, Ash was the weakest link and sort of had to go. And you see Paul, so he's not just seen it twice. He knows that they've gotten rid of, well, I mean, Harry is the OG, I guess, but they've got rid of three traitors. They got rid of Ash, they got rid of Miles, they got rid of Paul. So Andrew's there thinking, well, I'm not trusting anyone.
Yeah. So, quite rightly, you know,
I mean, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I think in the other seasons we've seen, the traitors do start off and they have that kind of camaraderie and they're trying to protect each other as well. But here we're just, it's fucking every man for himself, isn't it?
I mean, it's fucking brilliant. It's fucking brilliant. It is. I mean, I hope people listening are enjoying it as much. And if you've asked if they're outside the UK, if you've got a VPN, get on the BBC iPlayer. Season one's there, season two, 12 episodes. We do have a Nord VPN link as well, guys, on the in the show notes as well, which will get you a bit discount if you do want a VPN if you're outside the UK. The episodes are posted on Facebook as well. Chris and Dave's Reality TV, cast by our great friends over there. So if you're not sure about what to do with a VPN, get over to the Facebook page and the link to each show are pretty much on there for this whole season. So honestly, mate, I can't wait. And I'm gutted, to be honest, it's finishing this week. I know for the podcast, it's a good thing because of our workload and me being a Bella and throwing Love Island in there and really in. So I do apologise. I know that's my mistake, but I'm just going to be gutted as a show because I just think it's so good, this. And I'd love to watch it again. I really would. I think it's brilliant.
Yeah. And just some of the other characters. Oh, well, so the last one to go is obviously Charlotte. So again, just for no other reason than someone's got a crap theory and then it just gathers momentum. You know, she's picked out every single traitor and, you know, seems to be working things out. And, you know, she'd been very much Team Paul, hadn't she, for a number of the episodes. And then, you know, she was one of the ones who's like, no, someone's not right. And so she'd voted for Paul. But then, you know, in the next one, she ends up banished. And so I still find it amusing the way you see this human condition play out where, you know, there's a bit of momentum and then everyone gets like a germ of an idea in their head and it just grows and grows and grows. And so, yeah, I do you think the traitors are going to win? I mean, there's a big ratio of traitors now, isn't there?
Yeah, and the thing is as well, Dave, the UK season, I think we said at the start, was one of the only seasons where the actual faithfuls have won because they've got to suss out who the traitor is out of them final four. And if there's one traitor left, the traitors win. You know, the traitor wins whoever's left. So I think the odds now, having watched this unravel, because the first season we're unsure. I think the Traitors have got a very, very good chance. I'd say it's 70-30 at the moment. I know it sounds silly, but I really do. I think they're in such a strong position.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think I said to you, didn't I, when I watched, I think it was the US season, and the Traitor wins at the end. Honestly, I thought it'd be brilliant, but it left me with such an empty feeling. I mean, ultimately, it's a game. You know, it could be red and blue, or, you know, it doesn't really matter, but I didn't expect it, but I just, that feeling of just like, oh, well, that's a bit crap, isn't it? So, no, I don't know. I am still rooting for the Faithfuls, to be honest, but I don't hold out much hope. I mean, you know who's a bit of a wild card here is Zach. And I honestly feel like what changed was Harry's little whisper to Zach about Paul, you know, and whether there's two traitors going at each other. So Zach is trying to work things out, you can see, but he does completely get the wrong end of the stick sometimes.
Yeah.
But I think he can convince people. So it's going to be interesting what happens with him, I think.
Oh, mate, I can't wait. Absolutely brilliant. So thank you again for indulging us with this, everyone listening. You as well, Dave, because it's a lot of watching, a lot of thingy, but this show has paid off for me. The watching is definitely worth it. If you want to email us, cdrealitycast@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on social media, @cdrealitycast. As I said before, please get over to Facebook, Chris and Dave's Reality TV Cast. The links for the show notes are on there. If you want a VPN, NordVPN is a link that we have as an affiliate on our podcast, so it's on the notes of the show for today, if you're outside the UK. As always, thank you, everyone. It's amazing. Please go to patreon.com/CDRealityCast if you want to support us, and we want to thank everyone who supports the podcast, past and present. So, the roll call of honour, maybe the second one for today, Dave, which has been amazing. This is when you hate me, Dave. But anyway, big thank you to Ken Gustafson, Lucky Lulu Green, Lauren Hennessy, Susan Deedy, Katie Libby, Joanna Norrie, Chloe Helen, Keith Gillian, Zoe Maggie, Megan McCassie, Fiona Emma, Nicola Helen, Larissa Amanda, Kim Danielle, Nick Andrea Sims, Thatcher, Jesse, and Sinead. So thank you so much, guys, for all your support. Absolutely brilliant. And I hope you've liked the double bill of podcasts today. We do love covering all this stuff.
We do. You know, it's going to be great, isn't it, when we finish off this season and then maths starts straight away. But and we'll have 4 episodes of maths and 6 episodes of Love Island each week. Yeah, brilliant. All right, mate. Well, thank you very much for this. I cannot wait to find out where this goes. I'm wondering, do I hold off? You know, do I try and just put myself in a cave, you know, so I can binge the 3 episodes back to back? Because I've got a feeling each episode is going to be a belter now. So it's going to be stretched out Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. So, you know, I just can't wait. I've just been loving it so much. But anyway, thanks very much, sir. Thanks to all our listeners out there. Thanks to all our supporters. And we'll speak to you next time.
Bye.